Live and Lansing, Jack Ebling is on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
Welcome back, Jack and Scott Ebling and you, 1320 WILS. I'm going to ask our listeners to really hang with us here. We're going to go from hedge funds to isotopes. And I want to bring in Dr. Brad Sherrill, Chief Scientist, the Facility for Rare Isotope Beams, coming to Michigan State University. Hello, Brad. How are you?
Hi, I'm great. Thanks for having me on.
Well, a lot of excitement for a facility that is not supposed to be complete by until 2020, and construction not about to begin until 2013, but a lot of people certainly talking about FRIP.
Yeah, this is a very exciting project for the university and community and Michigan as a whole. When it's done, it'll be a one-of-a-kind research facility that will produce unusual isotopes that you won't be able to get anywhere else, and it's going to bring, we think, maybe 1,500 scientists here on campus to do research, and we're also hopeful that we'll have some other spinoffs. These kind of one-of-a-kind research facilities tend to have applications associated with them, and it's a good thing it's going to be in Michigan.
Well, the economic impact is undeniable, what this can mean. You talk about 1,500 scientists. These are not minimum wage jobs. These are people coming in, and they're going to do an awful lot for the community that way. But in terms of the actual research, for our listeners, can you, in 100 words or less, talk about isotopes and what their potential is?
Yeah, I'm used to lecturing, so it's hard in 100 words or less. But isotopes are different forms of atoms, and what you can do with them is, first of all, just try to understand the nucleus of an atom, which just turns out to be a hard problem. But these properties of those nuclei also are important for understanding how stars work, and in fact, for where atoms came from originally.
Where did they come from?
Well, they came from stars.
Okay.
Or processes related to stars. Some of them, well, actually, if you want to understand where the atoms in our body came from, it's kind of like a genealogy project.
Okay.
You know, we want to know where our relatives were from and so on. We can also ask where your atoms are from.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them come from the Big Bang itself, and other ones are made in stars. Gold atoms, which is kind of particularly interesting atoms, probably come from supernova explosions. This is when a big star violently explodes at the end of its life. And so if all of these atoms, part of us and our jewelry and stuff, were in some pretty exotic places in the universe at one time or another.
Do we know when this happened?
Well, the oldest atoms are from the big in us are from the Big Bang,
right,
and that's
original,
about 13.7 billion years ago. The gold atoms and stuff, probably there was one nearby when the solar system was first formed, and so that would be about 5 billion years ago. So these are old things, but...
Right.
And actually, well, there's other... we find very interesting things, like if you study sea sediments in the oceans, you find that there are some unusual isotopes there, which probably mean that there was a supernova explosion that occurred not too far away from us, maybe about a million years or so ago, and
right.
actually deposited some atoms on the surface that you can find. But
Brad, I keep coming back to a question I can hear our listeners ask as they drive home. Why should I care? And for people who are not of a scientific bent, do not understand how this is going to impact their daily lives, I guess the possibilities are endless.
Well, maybe 100 or a couple hundred years ago, scientists were working on making new kinds of molecules. You know, doing chemistry was evolving quickly, and we were finding various new compounds that could help in lots of fields. We're sort of at that level, but now on the scale of atoms themselves. So we can make new kinds of atoms that people didn't have before. And, you know, it's hard to say 100 years or so from now what all the applications will be, but it's a pretty good guess that there will be many. And, you know, we're just now getting this technology, and that's what FRIB is about, but we can start to manipulate things at even a smaller scale than making molecules. We can really do it on the scale of the atomic nucleus, which is even 100,000 times smaller.
What does it say for MidMichigan? This may be more of a sociological question than a scientific one, but it must say a lot about the competency and the quality of the workforce that could be attracted here, that Michigan State University would have ever landed this facility.
Well, Michigan State's been a center for nuclear physics research for 40 or 50 years now, and we've been ranked in the top few graduate programs in nuclear physics, and by the way, we're now number one graduate school in nuclear physics. That having that kind of expertise on campus and being leaders in the field is what's brought this project here. So it's been a commitment from Michigan State to support this kind of research that's made this possible. And it's been a long-term commitment, as I said, spanning decades.
How does this tie into a facility like the cyclotron and expand upon some of the research that's been done on campus already?
The current cyclotron is sort of a prototype facility. It's not anywhere near as powerful as EFRA will be, but we're already making some new isotopes. But EFRA will really expand that capability by a factor of a million or more in most cases. Hmm. So we're kind of we're learning the tools now. We're developing the tools, and to really realize a lot of the potential, we'll need the bigger facilities, EFRA. I should have also said when you're asking about what's the benefit for people in the Mid-Michigan area, I think we're also hopeful that when you have a new research tool like this and a broad range of new isotopes, that there'll be other benefits that will come from it. We'll develop new techniques for diagnosing and hopefully treating disease. As already right now, radioisotopes are used in mm-hmm. various diagnostic procedures. And this, if you have a whole range of new isotopes, we're hopeful that maybe the researchers will be able to use them to make new techniques. And so again, 10, 20 years from now, there'll be some new benefits along that line out of this, I believe.
Well, besides all of the breakthroughs and all of the innovations, whenever you talk about something that can bring $1 billion with a B, in economic development to the region, and we all know what has happened with Michigan's economy in recent years. This has to be a major part of Mid-Michigan's future. Brad, thanks so much for joining us. I appreciate it, and we'll touch base with you again many times before 2013.
Anytime.
Brad Sherrill, Chief Scientist, the Facility for Rare Isotope Beams, that is FREB, and Michigan State University campus coming up very soon. We'll be right back with Angelique Shingelis of the Detroit News.